Prayer here. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day and this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. And as we open your word, we do ask, dear Jesus, that you would guide in everything that is said and done, that you would lead by your spirit. We believe in you. We believe in your spirit. We believe that you desire to have control of this time. And you're the one who can make it what it's supposed to be, Lord. So we ask you to do that. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I was thinking about message today, and the Lord brought a little thought earlier this week to me, just out of the blue, about making it personal. So maybe that's the title of our message today. I'll write it on the board here. And you know, this is something, making it personal, is, you know, you hear this in the world sometimes about somebody, it's kind of a motivational thing. This morning, this is a necessary thing. You know, we want to not just know about the Lord, we want to know him. We don't want to just realize he exists. We want to experience what that means to us in our lives. And so when we talk about making it personal, it's a necessity to do that this morning. So let's look over here at a story in the fourth chapter of John. Appreciate your prayers today. And the fourth chapter of John, and this is the story of the woman at the well. And we're going to start with the verse here, the 10th verse. This is what the Lord really brought to my mind and kind of centered this thought upon for me. So let's read this here. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So in this, the Lord brought the thought of making it personal, because the Lord's saying, obviously this woman saw Jesus. Maybe he had even offered his name to her. I don't know yet. We don't really have that for sure, if she ever knew his name for sure. But the fact is, she knew he existed. But yet there was a whole other dimension that Jesus is saying, if you just knew who I really was. Now this woman could have, if this conversation had not happened that we're about to read, and she had walked off, she could have said, well, I met a man at the well, and he asked me for some water today, and his name, maybe she knew his name, maybe his name was Jesus, or maybe all she knew to say was, well, he was a Jew, and hey, he looked about like this, he's about so tall, and you could say, well, she knew Jesus in ways that I didn't. She saw him. And she had a description of him, and she was aware of his existence. But there was something that wasn't what it needed to be yet in her life that Jesus is pointing to. When he said, if you knew the gift of God, that's standing right there. And you know, today we're not unlike this woman at all. Spiritually, we're right in the same place as she was, all of us. It says that the Lord hasn't gone somewhere way far off where we have no ability to be connected with him, but that he's very present. Very present. We could sit here, and verses are just flying through my mind about the truth of that statement. That the Lord is present. He is very near. But there's something that needs to happen. And so we want to talk about that this morning. I want to put a little, I think it's called an acronym on the board. So I'm going to erase this title here. And I'm going to write it on the board. So maybe we can remember this as we read through this story. And the acronym is CAR. Now, did I say to use the right word? This is an acronym? Okay, good. All right, and so we're going to fill in some words beside those letters as we talk. And maybe we'll go ahead and do that so you can think about them as we read the story. The first thing I want you to think about is comprehension or considering. All right, so comprehension, and I add the word considering because this morning there's a certain type of comprehension we need. Now, it's not the comprehension of every single thing about Christ is not what's necessary this morning. That's not the comprehension we need. We need a comprehension that considers who is he? Who is this gift of God? And considers that he is the gift of God to me, that there's something more than just knowing about him. Can we say that so strongly this morning that that's what this part is about? That we come to a place where we realize that what Christ is trying to get in our life is not just that we know about him. You know, the fact that this woman came to the well set her up for what was needed in her life. But it was not the fullness of what's needed. This morning, the fact that I know about Jesus, and I know a lot of things about Jesus, is not the fullness of what is necessary in my life. And I know if I feel like I want to make sure we understand that point. Because we can get, and the world will promote, that knowing Jesus is what we need to do. And in that atmosphere, there's many places where that's just an increasing of knowledge, which is good, but it is not the fullness of Christ. If he was not alive, that would be the fullness of what we could get. But the Lord set up a salvation where he is resurrected today for a purpose, to intercede for us so that we could have his life inside of us. There is a fullness that goes beyond the knowledge. It's an awareness. And so we need a comprehension that in Christ, there's something, there's a gift waiting for me. There's something more than just knowing about him. That I'm not safe to just know about Christ. That my soul is not safe to just know about Christ. There has to be an experience beyond that with the Lord. All right? So now the next letter we have up here is asking. And we're going to see that happens in this story. So if we consider that Christ is something more than just knowing him, then it's time to start asking for that that's more than just knowing him. To start asking for the next level in my life. And this morning, you know, and I understand, I'm preaching to some people who know what I'm talking about. But I may be preaching to some people also who don't. So I think this morning we can all take this to heart. And the Lord can speak to us in our life. Because even if we know this experience, what does the song say? I love to tell a story, it's pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. And it also reminds me, because as I go on in my life, it's not enough for me who has experienced Christ and experienced the change that's beyond the knowledge in my life, beyond what the knowledge could have ever done for me. There's a little miracle of life that's happened in my soul, that I walk with the Lord. All right? It's necessity that I recall that and remember that and realize that the things that God teaches me, they must be beyond just a knowledge. They must become part of who I am in a miracle way, in a miraculous way, by the miracle of the Lord's Spirit in my life, by the reality of him doing things that I can't do or see or no one can accomplish in my life because it's beyond the ability that anyone has in this life to do. It's a miracle of the Spirit of the Lord. I need that. I continue to need that day by day as the Lord guides me, leads me, direct me. I need him to continue that miracle work in my life, in my soul. So I need to remember it. All right? So I need to ask. All right? And then, the last part, if we ask, then we receive. All right? And we'll see in this receiving here, and I trust the Lord to help me. But there's a measure of, once I've asked, do you want to hear what he's going to say? Wrapped up in what Christ is saying to you is the elements that can take you beyond knowledge. Now, you don't suddenly become able to do it, but in your receiving of those things that God shows you, you open the door for the Lord to do what's necessary to take this beyond something you know about to something that you are, is becoming who you are in your life. All right? So let's look here, and to make it very personal for you. So let's look back at this story, and we see here that he comes up and he says, give me to drink. If you would have known who it is that asked you this, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you something that's past what you see here, something that's past what you'll be able to pull up out of this well. There's something more than all these elements that are right here around us. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? And so there's already a need for some knowledge. The woman's not quite getting a hold of it. She says, are you greater than our father Jacob? Well, you'll see that she asked some questions that the Lord didn't really directly answer right off. And he could have. But what the Lord does in our life is he speaks when we start opening that door, when we're there and we're by him, and he says something, and maybe we don't totally get it, but we're like, okay, wait a minute, Lord, what do you mean by this? You know, that's a really important question to ask the Lord sometimes, is to ask him. You know, the devil wants us to feel like, well, you better pretend that you understand. It's a really important question to say, Lord, what do you mean by this? I don't understand. I don't get it. I was sitting in church today and I heard something, and Lord, it just seemed weird to me. It seemed like I just couldn't quite get a hold of what was being said. What do you do with that? Do you go on and pretend that you understand, or pretend that it wasn't necessary? Or do you say, Lord, what did I just hear? Was that something I needed to get a hold of, Lord? Was there something here that I'm missing, God? Or do you just pass on and say, you know what? I've got a knowledge of God. I saw him. I saw him sitting there. I'm good. Are we willing to ask those kind of questions of the Lord? Because you know what? She's starting to open the door. The Lord could have just dumped everything on her. But it was necessary that she begin asking and begin showing the Lord she was comprehending. There was something here that she needed to know, something more. And so she said, sir, you don't have anything to draw this. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. It's necessary. This is part of it. But you can drink this water for the rest of your life, and it will never completely satisfy your thirst. All right? It's necessary. It's something you have to do. But it's not the end-all, be-all. Do you know the things you're doing, even in your walk with the Lord, they're necessary, but they're not the end-all, be-all. There's a connection there with the Lord that is necessary beyond the things you're doing that are necessary. But if that's all you ever do, you're going to keep being thirsty. There's going to keep being something in your life that just isn't quite met, that isn't quite taken care of in your life, until you realize there's some water here that I can't reach to. There's some things that I can't understand. There's some things that I simply have to take in and let the Lord show me. All right? And I don't want to get too far ahead, but what we're talking about is a revelation from God. The revelations that are necessary in life, that come by the Spirit. That day by day, even with the Word of God right before me, I could never fully reach to those depths and get a hold of that water if it wasn't for the Spirit. Do you know that's why the Spirit is likened to that fountain? Said where Jesus stood up in the last great day of the feast, and he said, he that believeth on me, or I think it's how he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it says that he spoke of the Spirit. You can't, by the Word of God, simply reading it every day, ever get to those depths without the Spirit taking hold of it and bringing the revelation to our life, bringing it into our lives and writing it on our hearts, working a change in our life. But it starts with you asking. You acknowledging that God didn't save you and then make you able to just do it all. That there's still water that has to come from Him. That it's still a miracle that you get this ground in your life and you get these victories. It's by the Lord. And so we have to acknowledge that and then begin saying, Lord, there's something more here. I'm looking at this word and I've read this scripture. And Lord, it's just, there's something more here. Lord, what is it that I'm not, show me what I'm not quite getting a hold of here. Help me to understand. You're opening the door to the Lord doing things in your life. Because He's alive and He's sitting here waiting, just like He's waiting for this woman. Okay, now I've told you something. What are you going to do with it? And she started asking questions. All right? He said, whosoever drinketh this water will thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. This is something different than you've ever had. I got something here for you that nobody's ever been able to do this before. But it's coming. It's coming. And you know, this is the passage, and we don't read it all, where He says, they worship me in spirit and truth. This is the passage where the Lord's showing how that something's being added to just the word to make it all what it was always meant to be. Okay? And, oh, Lord, help us. There's so many thoughts, but let's stay focused here on what the Lord's given us. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She's like, okay, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Well, I want this water. Still not quite getting a hold of it. You're still going to come down here and draw this water, but you're going to do it with something else in your life. It's something that adds to. You don't get the Spirit and ignore the necessary things. You continue those things with the Spirit, making them everything they were ever meant to be in your life, taking them to that next level. But you continue in those things. But she continued the conversation. She continued to ask and say, okay, well, give me this water. And so the Lord hits her with the obvious next question, right? Go hither and call your husband. What's that got to do with the water? Whoa, hold on just a minute. Do you not see it? And to me in the story, I always see this. And this is, we want to bring out a point here about the way the Lord works with us. But this is not the next question in my mind. And I think it's probably not the next question in this woman's mind. Right? It's, okay, where are we going now? Do you remember the question I asked you? You know, that's how it's going to be with the Lord sometimes. You're going to ask Him about something. And all of a sudden, it's going to seem like something off and left field happens. Or maybe He directs you to another verse or something like that. But the Lord has a way. Aren't you thankful that we don't know how? We don't have to know how to ask the next question to really get down to who we are. You see, if it was just about our knowledge, well, she's got to figure out how to line this conversation in the right way and ask the right questions. Get my words backwards. Ask the right questions. So that the next answer can be what she needs. But that's not how it works with the Lord. He just needs you to ask. Don't ever, the devil say, well, you're stuck because you don't know what even to ask next. Just ask. Lord, I want this water. I want to get a hold of it. The Lord knows how to ask the right question back to you or to give the right thing back to you. You remember how that Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night. That's another person. Asked a question that seemed to have nothing to do with what Nicodemus needed. But the Lord knew how to get to where it was needed in Nicodemus's life. To give him what was necessary, what was needful in that moment down deep. So He says, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, you well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that you said it truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Something's finally clicked with the woman. This is not just a man like any other man sitting here by this well. There's something about him that's different. He has something here. And so she asked him a question. She says, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You know, in this, there are a million probably confusing things in this woman's minds that came out in this question, and we may not understand them all. But the Lord's pointing to struggles. You know, we grow up here in Alabama, and there's a certain degree of effect that Alabama has on us because we grow up here. Well, I grew up in Louisiana. There's a certain degree of effect Louisiana had on me because I grew up in Louisiana. There's things that I thought, had to think about, that were put in front of me, that there was experiences I had because I grew up there. There's experiences this woman has had because of where she's growing up, and the Lord's speaking to some of those things. And seeing that, and if you understand those things, you can understand maybe some of the confusions that were in her mind because of her background. You know, the Lord, that's what the Lord's getting at. He's getting right through the haze. And he's saying, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. There's some clarity here about the situation you grew up in. But the hour cometh, he says, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such that worship him. And God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. You see how she got, okay, wait a minute, you're a prophet. But she's like, Lord, is that it? And she kept kind of asking. She kept asking those questions that were stirring in her heart. She didn't stop. You know, life has dealt us questions. And sometimes we just hold on to them. And it could have been a moment here where she just held on to it. But she asked a question, and the Lord gave her an answer that dealt with a lot of the things that no doubt swirled in her mind, confusions that she had. This was a woman who knew there was going to be a Messiah, but she lives in the midst of a people that are so divided and fight about who he really is and where they should worship. And she's struggling so much to understand how to get past all this to where she needs to be. And she was willing to keep asking the questions. And so we got past that he's a prophet. And she says, I know that Messiah cometh. I see in her mind going, you know, I think I might be next to something pretty great here, to the true gift of God. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You see, this was where the conversation was going the whole time. The woman didn't know how to get there. There was confusions in her mind. There was just a lack of ability to comprehend based on her knowledge who was really right in front of her. But the Lord, because she's willing to hear what he was saying, that wasn't the best thing in the world to hear him say what he said about her husbands and all that. That was truth, but still, we don't like to hear truth when it's not nice. And we struggle taking it in, but she took it in and she just kept asking. She didn't let anything rise up in her and stop. And she kept asking, and she got to this point where the conversation was going all along. Do you know if you keep asking, don't let the answers turn you away. Don't let the confusion turn you away. Just realize the gift of God that is right beside you, Amen. That is present in your life, that's all around you. And understand that in him are all the answers that we need in life. Whether they're good and palatable or they're not so palatable. There's still every answer we need. And if we're going to be opened up and the needs of our soul are going to be met, we're going to have to be willing to ask, and we're going to have to be willing to receive. And as we do, keep on doing it. Amen. But do you know that when we do that, that we'll get to the revelations that are necessary in our life to save our soul and deliver us from evil? Because these revelations, well, let's look and see what happened here. If we look on down, it says, a woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this Christ? You know, the revelation of Christ is what delivers your soul. We're going to read in a minute, but it's what Christ said, I will build my church upon this rock. What was he talking about? We're going to read it, but it was a revelation of who he was. That's where the salvation is. We can have the knowledge all our life, and if we're not willing to ask and receive, to comprehend how much we need him to ask and receive what he says, then we've got a bunch of knowledge that's not getting where it needs to get in our life. But if we're willing to do this and receive, then the Lord can bring the revelations that is Christ into our life, that is the foundation upon which he built his church. All right. And in that we find what is necessary for us to be delivered and be saved. It became very personal to her at this moment. Matthew 16 is the story that we're referring to. Let's look over and read it. Matthew 16, and we'll start with the 13th verse here. And it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So you've got a lot of people that have seen Christ, have a knowledge of him, have a knowledge of the works that he's doing. In fact, we could pretty much take all these men that they're referring to here, because he is very specifically referring to people who have seen what he's doing, have heard the stories, have seen the deliverances, have heard what he taught. All right, so they all had this knowledge of Christ. And with it, they were all making decisions about who he was. All right? I pray that God, we can see the parallel to our lives today. Things come along. We all experience the opportunity to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And we can leave those moments saying all kinds of things about what God is and who he is. Or we can leave those moments with the revelation of Christ. God doesn't build his foundation of his church upon our knowledge. That's not what he builds his church on. He builds his church on the revelation of Christ in our lives. And in that, we're building together a structure to glorify God. All right? But it says here, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so obviously he had had a revelation, but let's look here and see where that came from. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Simon, this is not your knowledge. It's not that you've seen all these events too. And you, by your knowledge, you've determined exactly who I am. He said, but that's not what's revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. What do we mean by that? Do you remember how, and I'm actually not positive, but it's a story that illustrates it. So whether it was before or after, it doesn't matter. We'll see the faith and the determination that Peter had to ask the next question and to receive what was told him. Peter heard some hard things from Jesus. Because of his actions, Jesus had some cutting words he had to say to Peter in his life. But do you remember when all the others went away? Peter didn't. He said, you have the words of life. I'm going to keep asking questions. I'm going to keep seeking you. Because he had the comprehension that he didn't understand everything about Christ. It wasn't that kind of a comprehension where he understood everything that Christ said. But he had a comprehension that this is where the answers are. That they're not going to be found anywhere else in life. That's the comprehension we need this morning. And he was staying right there asking and receiving what he needed. And in that, Peter got his revelation about who Christ truly was. And it says, flesh and blood have revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, we know that that's been taken a lot of different ways, but it's very clear what just happened right here. Jesus established that Peter had something more than knowledge. He had a revelation straight from God because of the way he comprehended and considered who Christ was and that in him were all the answers. He had set himself up in asking and receiving to receive the revelation from God that was necessary to establish the Lord's church. Establish Peter as a part of that church. Establish his church in his life, in his heart, and who Christ was. That Peter could be part of that building that was built to structure to glorify God in the revelation that he received from the Lord. You know, this morning, I want to be a part of the Lord's kingdom. And I thank God for all the knowledge and all the opportunity he gives me to gain knowledge, and I want to hunger for it because it's part of life. It's part of that necessary thing. But I never want to forget that in all that, there's a need that God reveals to me who he truly is. Because if it's just me and my knowledge, I'm going to be off in left field saying, well, it's this, it's that, and it's something else. But in Christ, I can have the revelations I need to be a part of his church, to stand on the rock, that Christ can be who I am in my life, that he can shine out through me. You pray for me.